It's really a blessing when we can separate a longer time to seek the Lord. It's really important that in these days we would also take care of seeking the Lord ourselves, personally. Because the Lord for sure speaks in the meeting and He wants to open our eyes, but then it's about our seeking Him more. Everything that He speaks is not something that we can grasp just by hearing it once. I don't think there's anything that we can just grasp when we hear it the first time, especially if you go to school, if you're in an apprenticeship, or even at work. If the boss explains something to you, you don't understand everything all at once, right? And those are just earthly things. The spiritual things, the heavenly things, were unfortunately... It requires even more of our cooperation so that it penetrates. So may the Lord strengthen each one of us that we would have this desire, this seeking heart to say, Lord, I really want to see You. I want to hear Your voice. Oh, Lord, change me through this time. Yeah, the conference is valuable only when it changed something within us. So has something changed within you yet through these 3 to 4 days? Amen. But the Lord wants to change us even more because He's coming soon. And we're not there where we should be. That's why it's very important to now redeem the time to gain the first love. It's not just done once, oh, now I have gained the first love again, and now it'll always be there. How long will it last? What does the name Ephesus mean? It means loose, negligent. And that's why they left the first love, because they became loose. Because they thought, oh, it's somehow working. Everything's kind of working. That's what happens to us very quickly. We're at the conference and then we say, oh, look, everything's going well. We're a lot of people. We're all praying. We're all seeking the Lord. But that does not mean that we have the first love. This negligence or carelessness comes very quickly, especially in our daily life. And if the first love is gone, then the first works are also gone. And I also considered, what are these first works? For sure, if someone is standing in the first love, and that person is surely very consecrated. If you have the first love, then no one has to encourage someone to spend the time with the person they love. If someone says, oh, can you please contact me again? Then you know the first love is not there. That doesn't exist. What about our dealings with the meetings? When it's meeting time, is it so important for you to be there? Or do you say, oh, there are already 10 brothers there. If I come or not, it's not a big deal. I don't think this is the first love. If I think, oh, there are other people there, they'll take care of it. And I'm going to take care of the stuff that I have to do. Then something's not right. Those are not the first works. If I have the first love and I have the first works, even if 50 saints are there, I will make sure I'm there early to serve the Lord because we're serving the Lord and not man.
immer so. Wenn die Gebetsversammlung kommt, es gibt immer was zu tun.
When the prayer meeting, it's time for the prayer meeting, there's always something to do. There's always something to do at home. But the Lord often says, no, now care about my kingdom. Leave everything else, lay it aside. And then we can check ourselves to see if we really have the first love. Or when you have to wake up in the or when it's time to wake up in the morning to spend time with the Lord. In the morning you can see whom you love more or what you love more, your bed or the Lord. If I love my bed so much in the morning and I try to stay in bed as long as possible until the last minute, then the question is this the first work? Or if the Lord has really awoken me anew and I say, Lord, I want to seek your face before I do anything else. This negligence is already a marker, or it shows us that the first love is already decreasing. Then it'll also decrease in many other aspects of our lives. And then we have to really repent and we have to say, Lord, no, I don't want this to be like this, that I'm so negligent about my time with you. I don't accept it. It can't be. It can't be that everything else is standing in the way and that I do other things first. Lord, I give myself to you again. The Lord paid the full price for us. And so we should give our whole being to him. May the Lord strengthen us to give ourselves anew to him, to give ourselves completely to him. This is surely a characteristic of, or a sign that we have returned to the first love.
Oh Herr, jetzt die Überwinder, ja. Wir haben hier diesen Überblick.
We have this overview here about the Book of Revelation. Let's see if we can put it on the screen.
Ja, das ist wahrscheinlich zu klein, oder? Es hängt jetzt hinterm Bildschirm, ja. Aber ich denke, der Thomas klappt, oder? Klappt,
ja. Okay, so now we're going to put up this this slide.
Genau, irgendwie so. Genau, super. Haben wir frei. Ja, das hier haben wahrscheinlich schon einige gesehen, diesen Überblick.
Some of you might have seen this overview already. Concerning the book of Revelation. Here are all the chapters, and then the top row is the chronological chronological path of all the events. Then we have the sixth seal, the seven golden lampstands, the throne, the sixth seal. And then we have the great multitude, and then we have the first fruits, and then we have the judgment that comes after that in Revelation 8 with the four trumpets. Then we have Revelation 9, about the second half of the last 7 years, about the 1,260 days. Yeah, and this is what happens in the last 3.5 years. That's the red section. And when this time is over, then all the mysteries of God will be revealed. That's in Revelation 10. And then after that, the millennial kingdom begins, and then eternity. Yeah, actually, between the last two boxes should be the millennial kingdom. But actually, it also is included in all the mysteries of God being revealed. And between chapter 10 and 19, there are various chapters that are details, further details regarding these events. These are no longer chronological. They're just various details. And this blue section here, the details about the overcomers, that's what we want to have fellowship about this morning. This great multitude of overcomers before the throne, mentioned in Revelation 7, is also described in Revelation 12 and Revelation 14. The sum of those described in Revelation 12 and in Revelation 14, they make up the great multitude described in Revelation 7. And then after that, we see the judgment begins. And here, in this overview, you see that this top row shows the chronological order of events. The revelation, the rapture of the first fruits happens before the judgment comes upon the earth. Often people ask, when does the rapture occur? This rapture of the overcomers, you see, is between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And the sixth seal has not yet happened. It will be a global earthquake. And had this already happened, we would have known. It's not just about an earthquake that happens in one country, but about the whole earth. And when this happens, at this point in time, then there will also be the rapture. Then the rapture will also take place. And here we see it's shaking all over the earth already. I think Iceland is already being lifted up because there's such pressure underneath. So the sixth seal is not very far away. And when this comes, then the rapture will come. Then this is the time, the point in time for the overcomers to be raptured. And to where? To the throne of God. And this rapture will be to the throne. They don't go to the air, as it's described in 1 Thessalonians 4, but it's to the throne of God. And when these overcomers are taken away by the Lord in all this chaos following the global earthquake, then the judgment will begin. That's why it's so important that we would tell the Lord, I want to be part of this multitude. Because only those who are part of the multitude will escape the judgment upon the earth and will also escape the beast mentioned in Revelation 13. And this beast will persecute and even overcome, meaning to kill, to torture and to kill those believers who were not taken with that great multitude to the throne. That's why it is so important to see in these chapters what the Lord has described and shown us so that we would really be able to grasp it and be part of the multitude that's raptured. And in Revelation 15, those are also overcomers. But they're overcomers in the sense that they resist the beast and they are martyred in the last 3.5 years. But for us, we are living before the sixth seal. So for us, what's relevant is that we would belong to those who would be raptured before the judgment comes upon this earth. This is very important. Very important that we can be clear about this timeline. So I just briefly addressed these various points, but this afternoon we can go through this more so it becomes clearer and that we can follow it. The above row, the top row, is the chronological order of events, and the information below are the details that describe certain events. And so now we want to have fellowship about how we can be part of the multitude that is raptured to the throne. And here's a verse. in Revelation 3:10 that shows us the rapture happens takes place before the judgment comes. Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. And this is the 1,260 days. He calls it the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So it's really a global judgment where the whole world will come under the judgment of God. And only those who overcome will be kept from the hour of trial. So we should get into this word more. So this is the point in time where the overcomers will be raptured. And this is the very important point in time for us, that before the hour of trial comes, before the judgment comes, we would be raptured. Once you're in the last 3.5 years, that's not very good. Then you have to meet the beast, and you go through things that were read yesterday that we can't even imagine. So here it's about this point in time that we would be ready. And we're very, very close to this point in time. If you remember, the last prophetic week mentioned in Daniel 9 shows that we are pretty sure we're in the last 7 years. So we're not very far from this point in time. It can happen very quickly. And then the rapture will also take place. And everything else that happens after will go very quickly. Not a lot of time will pass. Oh Lord. So may the Lord strengthen us that we would belong to these overcomers. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, make us all to these overcomers.
Amen. Jetzt möchte ich einen Punkt eingehen, der die Überwindern Offenbarung 7 besonders ausmacht.
Revelation 7.
Es heißt dort in Offenbarung 7.
In Revelation 7.
Sah sie eine große Schar, die niemand zählen konnte.
Verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Clothed with white robes. This is the main characteristic or main sign of the overcomers with the white robes. And in verse 13, it also says, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? Where do they come from? This is their characteristic, the white robes. And then it says in verse 14, I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
This characteristic of the white robes is very important. It has to do with our walk, our conduct. When you talk about robes or garments, it talks about our walk, our conduct, our behavior. In Revelation 19, it says this very clearly as well. In verse 8, when it's about the bride, when it's about the summary of all the overcomers, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
feine Leinwand sind die gerechten Taten der Heiligen.
Amen.
Ja, der Herr möchte wirklich das, wie wir unser Leben führen.
The Lord, for it's important for the Lord is how we live our lives. It's not important how much we know.
Nicht mal so viel, wie viel ich getan habe.
Not about how much we've done, but it's about how we live. That's what counts before his eyes. How do I behave?
Woran denke ich?
What do I think about?
Wie rede ich?
How do I speak?
Das ist das, was vor dem Herrn zählen wird.
This is what counts before the Lord's eyes when it's about the time of the rapture.
Und weiße Kleider zu haben,
and to have white robes
nicht ganz so einfach, oder?
Is not so easy, is it?
Also allein schon, wenn du weiße Kleider hast,
just physically, if you're wearing a white garment,
physische Kleider,
like a white shirt, or it's not so easy for it to remain white the whole day, right? Manu had a stain on his shirt yesterday, and then you're so worried about, oh, I need to keep my white shirt white. Of course, you have a black shirt, then that's not a problem. But if you have a white shirt and you have one stain, everyone will come and say, hey, you have a little stain. Isn't that amazing? So I have a sweater that has a stain. And every time I wear it, someone says, oh, you have a stain. I said, oh, I have to throw away this shirt. We're so exact when it comes to our clothes. And if there's a stain, then we go and we clean and we do everything possible to get rid of the stain. But these clothes are not so important. What about with our spiritual clothes, our walk? With all the stains in our walk, in my speaking? How careful am I about how I speak, how I think? Am I also that sensitive? Oh, there's a stain. Lord, save me. Cleanse me. I hate this stain. Take it away. I put it away. I put this sin away. With this vanity, I judge and condemn these unholy thoughts. It's astonishing. We're so concerned about outward things, but not concerned about our daily walk. But Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not about how you are dressed, but how you walk, not as fools, but as wise. Amen. How you walk. How often do we let our walk be examined by the Lord? How often do we look through our day and review it and say, did I really walk before you in white robes? Was I pure before you? Is how I live pure before you? How I conduct myself at home with my wife, my kids, at work, when I'm alone, is it pure? Is it white? I'm sure that the overcomers really care about this and care about this question. Does my conduct please you? Otherwise, their robes would not be white. Our conduct will not be pure and holy if we don't take care of how we walk. Because it says they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Why is it stated there so often? One reason is to show us that those who became overcomers were in their nature sinners. In our nature we have this fallen flesh. His name is Rhino in German and means pure one. It's a very good name, but you still have your sinful flesh, right? You have to say, Lord, I want to be a pure one before you, pure and holy. It's so important. But we have this flesh. So it's not... We can't just become pure before God just like that. Maybe in front of other people. If you see other people, regardless of your mood, then you're, nice, then you have self-control and you're friendly. And when you don't see the other people, then you become a different person. It happens very quickly. You are scolding the kids, and then when you have visitors, you're like, oh, how nice to see you. The Lord has to really save us. Because our walk and our conduct is not how we walk before man, but before God. We need white robes. If this can get into our hearts this morning, that's what is important, that we want to have a holy, pure conduct before you. I want to have white garments before God every day, regardless of the situation, whether people see me or they don't see me. The flesh is what really defiles us. And Galatians makes this very concrete in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. It's not a matter of being born again in the Spirit. I'm pretty sure all of us are born again. But the question is, when do I walk and live in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what defiles us, the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit wants sanctification. The flesh wants its lusts. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And now the whole list comes of the works of the flesh. And every point that's mentioned here is a huge stain. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. And in Matthew 5, we see it's not just about the deed of adultery. It starts in your thoughts. If I already desire a woman in my thoughts, then I already have committed adultery. This is already a huge stain. It's not a small matter. If this is how my thoughts are, and if they stay this way, and if I do not resist them and stand against them, then I cannot be an overcomer. It's really necessary to put to death these deeds of the flesh. These thoughts have to be put to death. They have to be put aside. And it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't say, well, I'm just like this. My thoughts are just like this. The Lord has given us His Spirit, His life, so that we would, put to death the deeds of the body. Uncleanness. Well, what's unclean? It depends on what the Lord says. The Lord has to show us what's unclean in His Word. So some people we say, oh, well, the Lord hasn't told me, but if the Word says it, then it's valid. Our own discernment can be very, it changes. So we need the Word to show us, and also the body. If the saints say 5 times how you're doing it is not good, or how you're living is not good, then at the latest, I should really address this matter before the Lord. For sure. So if a brother already has to tell me how I am acting is not good, then I really have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. Mm-hmm. Lewdness, idolatry, covetousness is idolatry. Sorcery, hatred. Contentions. If I have something against somebody, this is a stain on this white robe. It's not a small matter. How do you feel after a fight with somebody? Do you feel very pure? You feel really defiled after having fought with somebody. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And then it says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This shows us that our conduct is what's important, that we set our conduct aright. Lord, this aspect of my conduct is not okay. If the lusts draw me, we should say, Lord, I hate these lusts. It always draws me away from you, and I hate it. I put it to death through the Spirit. I say, no, I don't want to be defiled by this lust. This is very important. Or if there's anger, you realize it already within you before it comes out. And then it's about what you do with it. And it's so important to go to the Lord. We can't overcome it without the Lord. But to go to the Lord and say, Lord, save me from this wrath. Save me from all my resentment. So quickly we have resentment, something that bothers us. They had palm trees in their hand, this multitude. This shows salvation. And they cried out with a loud voice. That means they really had a deep experience of the Lord. It says salvation belongs to our God. Salvation from what? From our wrath. Sometimes things happen and you just want to get so angry. You want to always let your anger out. When you're angry, are you very cool? Are you reasonable? No, it just wants to, it's like dynamite. You press the button and it explodes. It's really important to tell the Lord, save me from my anger. Oh Lord, I need salvation in my conduct. I want to have a white robe. It's not only that we need salvation at that moment, but in Galatians 6 it says, do not be deceived, in verse 7, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, according to my experience, if there was a situation where I realized I acted in a completely inappropriate way, I realized that the problem was that I didn't nourish my spirit. I occupied myself with worldly things instead, or vain things. And when the situation came, then I could not overcome my flesh. So the problem begins even before. So if we sow unto the flesh, and if we don't set our mind on the Spirit, and then you're provoked, then you will react. Then you will reap corruption. But if you sow unto the Spirit, then if you're provoked, then you turn to the Lord, and then your flesh remains in death. So it's not just about the situation itself, but it's about what we do the whole time. If we constantly sow unto the Spirit, then we will also reap everlasting life. This is very important. The white robes have a lot to do with our sowing unto the Spirit. that daily we would come to the Lord and we would let his word dwell in us. Leviticus 6:3, these overcomers are also all priests, because priests also carry white garments or put on white garments. It's a little different in English. He should put on in verse. He should put on a linen garment and should enclose himself with these linen white garments, and to really put it to death through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Then we can serve him before his throne day and night. And then he will minister to us while we serve him. That was Leviticus 6:10 in English. And now back to Revelation. They are before the throne, they serve him day and night, and they will no longer hunger nor thirst. When you serve the Lord, how are you? If you serve the Lord, but then you're kind of dried out, then you first have to turn to the Lord, because this kind of service will not make us an overcomer. Overcomers serve before the throne, and while they are serving, they will not hunger, they will not thirst, no, the sun shall not strike them, and the Lamb will shepherd them. So who's serving whom? Isn't that wonderful? When we serve the Lord, he's the one who shepherds and ministers to us. As we were working on the hall, and the brother said, and now are you all full of resentment, or are you all rejoicing in the Lord? And they said, hallelujah, we are rejoicing in the Lord. So it's very good to serve the Lord in such a way. Then you are really have the living waters as your source. Yeah, the overcomers serve the Lord day and night with his supply. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.
Amen.
And they did not love their souls to the death, their soul life to the death. This verse is so strong. It's such a wonderful and true word. If you read this chapter, these overcomers are the ones who have overcome the devil. You see, wherever they come, there's war, but then also victory. When the child is born, there's war. The dragon will want to take the man-child, but they will be raptured to the throne. And what's there? War in heaven. But then what happens? Then the dragon will be cast out and there will be a victory again. So wherever there are overcomers, there's war, but there's also victory. So what happens to the woman? The dragon also comes, but she flees. The woman flees. She flees into the wilderness. The woman is constantly fleeing. It's not so wonderful. But it says, the word says, resist the devil so that he will flee from us. But the woman flees from the enemy, from the dragon. So today, who flees from whom? Do we flee from the enemy, or does he flee from us? Do we have the victory over the enemy, or does he have the victory over us? And how does he fight? Here, the enemy fights in this way. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which means that the enemy fights with temptation. So we shouldn't take temptations loosely. Every victory over a temptation is a victory over the enemy. If you resist and overcome a specific temptation, this is a victory. Don't think I have the blood, I can cleanse myself afterwards. This is a step backwards. But when the temptation comes, what really draws our flesh, we should say, Lord, I hate this. I'm going to overcome it through you. And in every victory that we have over this temptation counts before the Lord's eyes, and we come one step forward. But if we relent, then we go one step backwards. And then our resistance against the devil will decrease constantly. But the more we overcome, the more resistance we develop. So we need this resistance in the Lord. And they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. So we need the living word of God. And it says they have not loved their lives to the death. And I just want to mention this point, touch on this point more. Our soul is also a problem. Our flesh is very obvious. If you have outbursts of wrath, you fight, there's not much you can do to try to justify yourself. You know that was not okay. Fornication, you know that's not okay. You know. What about with your soul life, though? The Lord touched me with Luke 14 these days. It's good to read these verses where the Lord talks about this, that we should leave our soul lives. Maybe we have the experience of the blood and the word, but that's not enough to be an overcomer. An overcomer also needs the experience of not loving the soul life. Because this can really hinder us from going on with the Lord. In Luke 14, verse 25, it says, now great multitudes went with him. So many people followed the Lord. And he turned and said to them, a very strong word, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, and mother, wife, and children, brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Weil ein Nachfolgender, die Erstlinge, darüber werden wir morgen nicht mehr, also ich nicht mehr reden, die folgen dem Lamm nach, wohin es auch geht.
The first fruits follow the Lamb wherever he goes. How can you follow the Lamb wherever it goes? That only works if the Lamb is the most important in your whole life. Otherwise, I cannot follow him. If my father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters are more important to me than the Lord, or my own soul life, what I want to do with my own soul life, then I cannot be his disciple. I won't be faithful to follow him until the end. My soul life will be a hindrance for me. And says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Even these relationships, we have to put them under the ruling of the Lord. Even my relationship to my wife, to my children, cannot stand above the Lord. Hate doesn't mean, of course I cannot hate my wife. I love my wife. But no one should be more important to us than the Lord.
Sobald jemand wichtiger wird als der Herr,
as soon as someone becomes more important to us than the Lord, you can no longer be his disciple.
Jetzt möchte ich gerne das.
And the Lord says, I want this. But you're so stuck to the others, then you can't follow the Lord anymore. Some people are clinging to their house, others to something else, like Luke 17, marrying, to be married, to plant, to sow, to build. Is that all bad? Can you no longer plant anything? If you have a garden, then you can no longer be an overcomer. Did the Lord say that? No. The Lord even made the Garden of Eden. But it's about nothing being more important to us than the Lord. You can't say anything against our going to work. It's also good to work, please. Paul also said in Acts 20, he didn't work just only for his own needs, but he worked so that he could take care of all his co-workers. So I can encourage you all to work. I'm also going to work now. And I think it's good. But it should not be more important to us than the Lord. If it becomes more important to us than the Lord and the Lord calls us to say, come to me, and then I say, oh, but I still have to pursue my work, I cannot be his disciple, then I have a problem. And the Lord really has to grant us grace to say, Lord, I put everything to death that is more important to me than you. This is what it means to deny the soul life. It says, I do not consider these my whole life more important to me so that I can complete my ministry and fulfill my ministry. Only then will the Lord become so precious to us. Revelation 14:4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, the white robes, for they are virgins. That means they love the Lord more than anything else. When there's a virgin who is about to get married, who's more important to that person, to the bride, than the bridegroom? And this is how important and precious the Lord has to be for us. Our soul wants to put a veil in front of us and say, oh, this is more important, and that's more important. And by this we forget and lose how precious the Lord is. We don't taste his preciousness anymore because we have given room to our soul. I can't say this is bad, but all these natural things in our lives, family, house, work, if these things consume us, then the Lord will no longer be my preciousness if those other things become so precious to us. May the Lord save us from this. These are the ones, amen, who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Then we can follow the Lamb. And then the Lord becomes so precious to us. If we anew put everything on the altar and say, I want to leave everything so that you can reveal yourself anew to me, that I can see how worthy you are, how precious you are, that I can taste your love again, Lord, then we can really follow him. And these were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. May the Lord strengthen us to have such a relationship and such a fellowship with him. Everything only happens through the Lord. Romans 8 also says, amen. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul was so one with the Lord in his love that he was ready to leave everything, even his own life. So may the Lord save us even more in these days, that we would be willing to put everything on the altar so that we can follow him until the rapture comes. Hallelujah. And the rapture is coming very soon. And if we're all there with him, then we can all cry out with a loud voice with palm branches in our hands. Our salvation belongs to our God. Salvation is turning from that which is not good to that which is wonderful. So don't let ourselves be deceived by our souls. Let us not cling to these things, but to put them to death and to say, Lord, become the most precious one to me. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be a first fruit even. Amen.